Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 38, verses 1 through 28, God's help to his consistently obedient servant. Sometimes God's servants need help, but there's no human help that is motivated or available to help them. The prophet Jeremiah faced and overcame this challenge in Jeremiah chapter 38, 1 to 28. So we view it for our insight. I know 28 verses, but I need to read the chapter first, and then we'll look at it. Then Shephatiah the son of Matan, Gedaliah the son of Pashur, Jukal the son of Shelemiah, Pashur the son of Malchiah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken unto all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, by the disease, but he that goes forth to the Babylonian shall live, for he shall have his life for prey and shall live. Thus saith the Lord, This city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of the Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man, that's Jeremiah, be put to death. For thus he weakens the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people in speaking such words unto them, for this man seeks not the welfare of this people, but their harm. Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Malchiah the son of Hammelech that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with ropes. And in the cistern there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk into the mire. Now when Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the cistern, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke unto the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they've cast into the cistern, and he's like to die of hunger in the place where he is, for there's no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from there here 30 men with you, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts, that would be old rotten rags, and let them down by ropes into the cistern to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armpits, under the cord, under the ropes. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with ropes and took him up out of the cistern, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask you a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, If I declare it unto you, will you not surely put me to death? And if I give you advice, will you not hearken unto me? Thou wilt not hearken unto me. So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, As the Lord liveth, that made us this soul, I will not put you to death, neither will I give you into the hand of these men that seek your life. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, If you will assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, that would be surrender, then your soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if you will not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you will not escape out of their hand. Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, I'm afraid of the Jews that are fallen over to the Babylonians, lest they deliver me into their hand and mock me. But Jeremiah said, They shall not deliver you. Obey, I beseech you, the voice of the Lord, which I am speaking unto you. So it shall be well with you, and your soul shall live. But if you refuse to go forth, that is to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house, that's your harem, shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, and those women shall say, Thy friends have set thee on and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are stuck in the mire, and they are turned way back. So they shall bring out all your wives and your children to the Babylonians, and you shall not escape out of their hand, but shall be taken by the hand of the king of the Babylon, and you shall cause the city to be burned with fire. Then said Zedekiah unto Jeremiah, Let no man know of you these words, that you shall not die. But if the princes hear that I have spoken with you, and they come unto you, and and say unto you, declare unto us now what you said unto the king. Do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death. Also what the king said unto thee. Then you shall say unto them, I presented my supplication before the king that he would not cause me to return to Jonathan's house to die there. Then came all the princes unto Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them, according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they left off speaking with him, for the matter was not perceived. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was taken, and he was there when Jerusalem was taken. Okay. Jeremiah experienced a life-threatening trial where he could not help himself, or he could not get any help. Several officials heard his prophecy that those who stayed in Jerusalem would die by the sword, by hunger, by disease, but that those who left the city to surrender to the Babylonian army would live. Thinking that Jeremiah was being a traitor to Judah by preaching such a message, they asked King Zedekiah that Jeremiah be slain, that he was demoralizing the people who still remained in the city. So, typically weak, Zedekiah gave the officials permission, saying he could not oppose them. It's interesting. This is the same Zedekiah who had imprisoned him before, then let him out of prison. Now he's allowing these guys to put him in prison. I really think Zedekiah was afraid of these officials. The city was close to being taken. So he was almost like a lame duck king. You know, he didn't have much sway, much power. He just effectively ruled just within the city itself. He's probably more of a figurehead. The officials then arrested Jeremiah and put him into Malchiah's cistern, a large pit cut into rock and covered with plaster, used to gather rainwater in the winter for use during the dry summer. There had been a prolonged drought, so there was only mire in the cistern. So when they lowered Jeremiah into this deep pit with ropes, he sank down into the thick mire. His life threatened, his death by starvation was a near prospect. We don't know how thick the mire was, but it was probably anywhere from knee-deep to waist-deep. So you know, you couldn't just lie down and go to sleep. you couldn't get yourself out. It's a long way to the top, and you're stuck. You're stuck in mire. Mire is it's like quicksand. It's very thin, very, not like thick mud, but it's slurpy. I don't know. We used to change sprinkler pipes on the field, and we would go through slippy lanes, and sometimes it would just suck the boot right off your foot. So you'd have to fish around and trying to find your boot, and it was really tough. But this was a difficult situation. However, back when God had called Jeremiah into the prophetic ministry, the Lord had promised that though all the people of Judah would fight against Jeremiah, God was with him to deliver him. I'm going back to that passage and reading right now. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, this is God speaking to Jeremiah when he first called him. He says, "For behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city and an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee." At this point in his life and ministry, that's all Jeremiah had going for him. The king was not really going to concern himself pulling him up. The officials didn't want him up. Apparently, none of the other Jews did. So it looked like he was really tough. But God came to his rescue. God moved a Gentile slave, a Cushite. Now, it's translated Ethiopian. It might have been an Ethiopian. The Cushites were the people who lived in southern Egypt and northern Sudan. They might have been blacks. I'm not sure. But anyway, he was a Gentile, and he was a slave. And he came to Jeremiah's rescue. When Ebed-Melech, a Gentile Cushite and servant of Zedekiah, heard of Jeremiah's plight, he went to the king to complain that the officials had mistreated Jeremiah. The prophet would die of hunger in the cistern since there was no more bread left among the people of the city. It's amazing. No one really cared about Jeremiah except this foreign slave. And this foreign slave had a better sense of right and wrong than anybody else in the city. You can see why God had to judge the city to fall. Their sense of right and wrong was all messed up, and it took this Gentile slave to have a sense of right. Well, the vacillating Zedekiah heeded Ebed-Melech's request, commanding him to take 30 men with him, to pull Jeremiah up out of the cistern that he not die there. The reason it was going to take 30 men because they were going to have to dislodge Jeremiah from the muck. And that was going to take some work. Ebed-Melech then took ropes and old rags with 30 men to pull Jeremiah up out of the cistern. He lowered two sets of looped ropes to Jeremiah to position them under his armpits, shielding his armpits from them with cushioning rags over the ropes. And they drew him up out of the cistern so that Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. I like to think that when they pulled him out, there was this huge sucking sound as they popped him out of the mire. But Jeremiah would have been very, very happy for that sound so he could get out and have his life saved. Well, King Zedekiah then arranged for a second secret meeting with Jeremiah at the third entrance of the temple to ask Jeremiah insight from the Lord that he not hide it from him. Well, remember, this is about the second time that Zedekiah, after he gets him out of prison or out of a cistern, is asking for advice. And Jeremiah has just, you know, he's lost trust in this king. He just doesn't know where this guy is coming from. So, Jeremiah distrusted him, so he asked that if he told the king God's message for him, would the king not put him to death? And if he gave the king counsel, would he not listen to him? Zedekiah then swore an oath in God's name who had made their souls that he would not put Jeremiah to death nor hand him over to the officials that sought his life. So it's difficult to tell if Zedekiah was a real believer or not. Maybe he was just swearing an oath in the name of God because he knew Jeremiah respected God and he was trying to persuade Jeremiah. Who knows? Very difficult to tell. Anyway, Jeremiah then gave the king the same message that he had repeatedly given. Same message. If Zedekiah surrendered to Babylon's officials, he and his house would live. Jerusalem would not be burned down. If he refused to surrender, the city would fall. The Babylonians would burn it down and Zedekiah would be captured. Well, Zedekiah replied that he feared the captured Jews in Babylon would mistreat him if he surrendered. But Jeremiah answered that were the king to obey the Lord, he would live and all would be well with him. It looks like Zedekiah felt that he was trapped. If he surrendered, yeah, the Babylonians would take care of him. They'd done that with a former king, Jeconiah. But he was afraid that he'd be mistreated by the Jews in Babylon who were expecting him to hold out. So he thought, it's a catch-22. I'm in trouble if I surrender, I'm in trouble if I don't. However, were Zedekiah to disobey God, his own harem would scoff at him for letting himself be misled by his officials. He would have lost all his friends and the city would be destroyed by fire. In other words, Zedekiah stood, according to Jeremiah, he stood to lose everything, absolutely everything, and friends and supporters if he didn't surrender. But if he surrendered, it'd be okay. Well, Zedekiah then told Jeremiah to tell the officials who might learn that he had met with the king, that he had asked the king not to return him to Jonathan's house. That was the first cistern that he was put in. That he not die without mentioning the message from God that Jeremiah told him. The king realized that if Jeremiah had given the same message, these officials would say, okay, let's kill him now, because he's discouraging everybody. Well, the officials did question Jeremiah, and when he gave them the king's suggested answer, no, that's not telling them everything, just saying that he asked that he not go back to Jonathan's house, they left him alone. So Jeremiah stayed in the court of the prison until the city fell. So it's amazing. God used a Gentile, Ebed-Melech, and then he also used a very vacillating king, of all things, to save his life. Probably the last two people that Jeremiah thought that God would ever use to save his life. But anyway, when Jeremiah faced certain death, then only God could rescue him. Since he consistently heeded the Lord, God kept his promise to deliver him by the unlikely use of a concerned foreign slave and a vacillating king. So, may we consistently heed the Lord and see him help us in times of great need, fulfill his will for us. I've seen this type of thing happen before where you get into trouble and the Lord brings along the least likely person or uses the least likely situation to help. This happened one day. I had noticed that the rain had clogged up the down gutter here that's just outside of my window, and it was spilling over the gutter, and I knew it needed to get unplugged. And I knew that we had a ladder up here that could reach up, but it wouldn't go all the way. So as I was leaving my garage, I noticed I had a piece of conduit. There's a pipe in which you put an electric wire and all, and I had bent it long time ago in the shape of a shepherd's hook, and the bottom part came down like this. And I don't know why. I've had it there probably 10 years. I don't know why I've kept it. But I saw that hook, and I thought, I wonder if that would work. So I just brought it along with me. Came here, got the ladder, got it down from the balcony, carried it out, put it up against the building, and went up with the shepherd's hook. And I thought, I hope this works. So I went up pretty high, grabbed the side, got the shepherd's hook around, turned it like that. And I didn't know that there was still water up in the gutter. But anyway, I put the top of the shepherd's hook and pulled down into the gutter, and it unloosed the clogged gutter. And I heard, for a long, about 30 seconds, water kept draining out of the thing, and it emptied, and I was so relieved. I was so glad. I said, praise the Lord. So I've kept that shepherd's hook. I got it in the back furnace room. So if I need to use it again, I can use it again. And I found I can do this without having to get up on the roof and take my life into my hands to do it. Just do the ladder. And when I use the ladder, I use it by the corner of the building, climb up and hold to the side of the building. There's a piece of wood there, so I'm not going to fall off, and reach with the other hand and do this. But that shepherd's hook, that bent piece of conduit, for years I've looked at it and I thought, what did I ever use that for? And I wondered, why do I keep it around? But I never got rid of it. And it came in handy. And now it's something that I can use on a consistent basis. So God has his ways of helping us out. If we're faithful, if we serve him, if we follow him, he covers all the details of our lives. He doesn't miss a single beat. And he will help us out. So be faithful to the Lord.